Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side.
Shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
When the ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts for this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Craig.
As always, please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. And go ahead and pull down on those safety bars because we will not be doing that for you. Gentlemen, we have reached milestone episode 22. Derek, today is a very special episode, and why is that?
It is. We get to replace the picture on the wall with the recent trip rundown. We can take this picture of Clint down and
that's right.
Put one up of our next guest.
We have an honorary portrait of every guest that we've had on. That's false. That's not true. We're not weird.
Who painted that, by the way?
It's a mural done in tile.
It is time for another recent trip rundown. Our last one, we had Clint Rochelle in studio. And today, Craig, who do we have for the folks at home?
We have none other than Nicholas McNabb. Nick McNabb, he's a good friend of ours. We've known for many, many years, most of our life. And Nick is a good, good guy. He lives out in Arkansas. And I think he's there on the line with us. Aren't you there, Nick?
I'm extremely honored and to be a part of this motley crew. Yes, thank you for having me.
Yes, I believe if you started driving now, we're in Middle Tennessee, if you started driving now and drove until Thursday, you'd make it to Searcy, Arkansas, where he is.
That's right, but it is closer than Henderson, Tennessee, right?
It is much closer, but we're glad that Nick is coming in loud and clear, and certainly thankful that, Nick, you have chosen to be with us on this day.
And it is by choice, right?
It is by choice. Okay. We don't have any blackmail on him, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think either, but it is by choice. No money has been sent, nothing under the table or anything like that.
And so it won't be.
It is my choice.
Yes.
And it won't be, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, I got you.
We're still waiting for money to change hands for any of us, other than us paying money out. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background with Disney, and we know you're a huge Disney fan, and we love following your updates on Facebook and Twitter when you're there. So tell us a little bit about your recent history with the world.
Yeah, my recent history is fairly recent because I had not ever been to Disney World until I was 35 years old. So, my first trip was in the spring of 2016, and we kind of saw that as kind of a once and an every little bit kind of trip, you know, probably every 3 to 4 years. And so Amanda and I planned, my wife and I, first wife and only wife.
ding, ding, ding. There you go.
I'm a listener too, boys. And, we planned and really tried to do just about everything that we could. And when we got there, we had a fantastic time. But man, we were bitten by the bug. And I tell people pretty often now who ask me about Disney, it took me 35 years to get there, and that was not going to be the case to get back. So I think I was just telling you guys, we've been there since the spring of 2016. I think we've made 5 trips, and our daughter Lily, who is 8, has made 4 of those trips with us. And we've got one coming up in the spring, too. So, and it's a little unique. I'll have to tell you about that later. But Disney, and you know, I think I'm probably a little bit addicted to both, if you will, if addicted is a good word to use when it comes to Disney. But I love the planning process. I love kind of gaming the system, if you will. And man, I just love being there. And you know, once you get there, it's just, in my opinion, if you've done good planning, which you guys offer great advice on, but if you've done good planning, you can have fun. You can really take on pretty much anything there because you've done your work ahead of time.
And how crucial is that, Nick? I mean, being there as many times as you've been, I mean, you've been there as a first time, or you've been there and saw how it was without a whole lot of planning, probably not knowing what you was planning for until now where you know exactly what you're doing. I mean, how critical is that?
Well, I mean, when we first started, I'm a planner by nature anyway. You know, there's an old saying that I use, it's better to be prepared than to plan because plans will fall through.
Sure.
But, man, I'm a planner by nature. So that first time, we spent a lot of time planning. And I read blogs. I listened to podcasts. Talked to people that I knew and spent a lot of time doing that. But really, I was going in blind. I'd never been there. Amanda had been a couple times, but it had been, you know, since the late 90s that she had been there. FastPass system was recently changed. All of the kinds of things that were going on. As of going from that first time, man, I learned so much. I've read so much. Things are constantly changing at Disney, as you guys know, and a lot for the good, some for the sad. It's crucial. I mean, just for an example, we were there New Year's Eve and backwards, if you will. We got there on December the 27th, and we're there through January the 1st. I saw so many people who were just frustrated by the system to think that they could buy tickets that day and come in and be able to ride anything they want and do it. And I was like, oh, I feel so sorry for these people. These people need grim grinning guys in their life.
Amen. I mean, don't we all?
So
how would that be, Nick, if that was your only experience at Disney? Would you ever go back again?
It would be miserable. I mean, you can't eat anywhere. For example, we were at the Magic Kingdom on December the 28th. We were getting ready to go to our reservation at the Crystal Palace. I walked up to the front stand, and there were three people in front of me. All three of them were hoping to get in the Crystal Palace that day without a reservation.
Oh, me.
And the cast member was very, very kind, and she said, oh, honey, people make reservations for this 6 months in advance. They were blown away, you know? And then there's Casey's right there on the corner, if you will. And there's a line that's wrapped around it for, 3 miles. I mean, it's just, but if you plan Disney's magic will live with you forever, I think. And that's part of the fun for me is just planning. So
you're saying do not go on New Year's Day.
Oh, you know, New Year's Day would be good.
Oh,
because
okay.
We checked the wait times of New Year's Day. And because of everybody partying the night before, the crowds were kind of lower. But New Year's Eve. Shoot. We had actually planned on that day to get to the parks later. We had a breakfast reservation at Epcot at Garden Grill. And then we were going to leave early, but we left earlier than we thought we were going to leave just because you could not move. I mean, you could not move.
And we, that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on, Nick, is because you've talked about planning. If there was ever someone to put that planning process to the test, it was your family. Again, it's kind of well known the most crowded week of the year is between Christmas and New Year's. The most crowded day of the year in the Disney theme parks is New Year's Eve. You know, our friend Josh at EZWDW, I sent you this, Nick. Figment was at a 90-minute wait, an hour for Grand Fiesta Tour, 80 minutes for Living with the Land, 340 minutes at Test Track. But as you kind of said, planning, even on the most crowded days, you can still have a good time and get a lot done. And you're kind of living proof of that. It's not just us saying, hey, you need to have a plan, but you were able to put that into action. And that's kind of why we're excited to talk to you today.
By the 30th of December, you were really feeling the crunch. And I will say this, Disney threw me for a couple of loops because, guys, they're pretty, pretty well known, widely known for changing park times. Opening time,
yes.
Adding on magic hours early and adding magic hours late and all that kind of stuff. Well, they threw me for a loop about a week before we left is adding 7 a.m. magic hour time opening for Magic Kingdom. And, I'm a rope drop guy. And so I was like, all right, girls, buckle up because we're going to be at the bus stop at 6 a.m. We're going to be at the Magic Kingdom. And, there was not a morning during our trip that we did not have, we were not at the bus stop later than 6 o'clock except for our last morning. And that made for some, but we left early because crowds build towards as the day come on. Mm-hmm. But man, those magic hours are important if it's a busy time because resort guests only are allowed to come in and all that good stuff. But here's an interesting thing. You guys may be familiar with this. This is another loop that they threw me for. Extra magic hours during those mornings only were allowed for Fantasyland and Tomorrowland.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff?
Yeah, they've done that.
Man,
typically that's how they usually do it, because kind of Frontierland is kind of not part of extra magic hours.
They don't really advertise that. I don't think they do a good job of advertising it to let you know.
No, they absolutely don't. And if I'm not mistaken, I thought we did extra magic hours back in the first time we went, and all of that was open. I could be wrong. I kind of have a Disney coma since then, but or a fog, if you will. But anyway, so we go, extra magic hours were really important that morning. I think, from 7 to 8, we rode like 5 or 6 rides. Mm-hmm. Before that, and like Peter Pan, Winnie the Pooh. We didn't do Mine Train because that's where everybody goes.
Oh, yeah.
And we had fast passes for that throughout the week. But, that was kind of another loop that it kind of threw me for, but I was better prepared the second day. And I will tell you this trip was only to go to the Magic Kingdom in Epcot. Those are our two favorite parks. I know Pandora is all the rage, and even my man Matthew gave me a fast pass for Flight of Passage, which I sold for $375.
I'm sure you could.
But I actually gave it away, man. And when I gave it to that guy, it was great.
Christmas.
They are like gold.
His face just lit up. But we had planned on going to those parks. Busy, man. They were busy. It was the only thing you could really walk on during those days was Carousel of Progress, and I think he got up to 25 or 30 minutes one time.
Wow.
Jumping into this recent trip, where did y'all stay this time?
Well, we have stayed only at two places on property, and the first time we went, we stayed at Port Orleans French Quarter. We really liked it, but we've kind of fallen in love, especially with the pricing of Pop Century.
Sure.
Pop Century is where we stayed this time. We always get a preferred room, which is really close to the main hall there. The buses are, as you guys know, are dedicated, and they're usually spot on as far as, being there, being on time, because that is a loaded resort. Really, we look at Disney resorts, especially when we're touring the parks, as just a place to lay our heads at night. And that's basically all Pop Century offers in the rooms. Now, they are going through renovated rooms, which I'm really excited about. They're really, the whole, basically half of the 60 section was being renovated. But we stayed at Pop Century, and
did you stay in a renovated room?
We did not. Those are hard to get, and they started far back. They started in the 90s, and they've kind of worked themselves forward. And so we don't. We always get a preferred room, and so you didn't get that luxury of getting those. But
when we were there,
they're getting close to finishing that.
When we were there back in July, us three, they had just started that.
Yeah,
and they were doing some of that.
Now, Nick,
they're getting close.
Have you taken time to enjoy the resort pool at Pop Century?
Oh man, the hippy dippy pool. Yeah, we did it this past summer. We went for a couple of days.
See, thank you.
And we enjoyed it on our arrival day.
Nick.
Anytime I read something not too long ago, it's when it's talking about Disney, and they said, especially if you have kids. The best memories your kids will likely have will not be all the rides you rode or not the good places you eat, but the time you spent with them in the pool. So,
oh, yeah.
Matthew, there you go.
That's what Bruin said his favorite part of the trip was the pool and the hot tub.
Your Honor, for Exhibit A, I would like to say he said he did that back in the summer, which he's been 2 or 3 times since then.
That's not in the pool. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, man, steam was coming off the pool this time. When we were there, it was like 55 degrees.
Matthew would have still been in it.
We would have found a way.
Yeah. Cannonballs in the hot tub. Right?
Absolutely. That'll warm you up.
Oh, man. But, yeah, Derek, Pop Century seems to be our home resort. But we are going in the spring. We're going spring break. And brace yourself, fellas. I think I told Matthew this, but brace yourself. We're going in the spring and not going to a park. Okay?
What?
Yeah, we're going to this. We're going and we're staying at. We're renting DVC points for the first time.
Oh,
joining the renters.
Oh, you're a renter. Yeah. Welcome.
We're renting DVC points, so we're moving up. As in the echelon of Disney resort guests. But anyway, so I wanted to be able to enjoy those amenities, and we're going down there. And we're actually going to drive, take our time. I would rather fly anytime, but driving. Enjoy that resort. So, we're staying at Old Key West.
Okay.
Just make sure you stress to the staff and cast members there that you are a renter. It will
get you nowhere.
So just get you nowhere. Yeah. No,
it means absolutely nothing.
Excuse me, where is the renter's lounge?
So are all three of you going?
Yes, all three of us are going, and we're really looking forward to that, because I'm telling you, you guys know a Disney trip most times, especially if it's a probably 5 days or less. If you're like me and Matthew especially, you are checking things off. I mean, you want to get it done. You're up at 6 a.m., you know. I mean, so we're kind of looking forward to being in the Disney bubble. And we're eating at some new restaurants that we haven't eaten at before. We want to try some new ones around the property and in the resorts. So we're just going to kind of kick back and relax. So
I'm placing bets right now. You'll end up in a park at some point.
Man, it's hard. Oh, man.
Yeah,
I'm going to say you're gonna buy a ticket and sneak into a park at some point.
Well, you know, and I had done some research before I left this last time about upgrading my current Magic Your Way tickets to an annual pass.
Right.
And so I had done some research about that and had lines not been so long at guest services and that I could have probably justified, you know, spending the extra money that would have taken to, you know, counting my Magic Your Way ticket and then towards the annual pass. I probably would have done it, but that's probably coming soon. That's going to be our next Disney big purchase. So,
is annual passes?
Yeah, at least for one of us, maybe Amanda herself, because Lily is she's 8, so she's still got another solid year
before she's an adult.
Yeah, before she's an adult.
Welcome to adulthood.
Yeah. Get a job.
So anyway, hey Derek, another thing about Pop Century this time that we had heard about. But we had never done
the pool party.
They had a little pamphlet in our room when we had gotten there, and it was talking about where we could forego the mouse keeping, and they would give us a gift card. So I went down to the desk and asked about it. And since we were staying there for we were actually there for 5 nights and 6 days, but if we wanted to forego it, they gave me a $40 gift card. And I asked, I said, so, you know, what if we need new towels? And they said, all you have to do is call and they'll come and they'll refresh your room. They'll make your bed. They'll do whatever. But so just opting out of the daily mouse keeping gets you a gift card in these value resorts.
That's awesome.
And we called twice and they came and made our bed, did everything that they normally would have done on a daily kind of thing. And, we got 40 more bucks. So I thought that was pretty cool.
So once again, you have gamed the system, as you said.
Gamed it, dude. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yes.
Now, something else to keep in mind, and you may already know this, staying in the DVC resort is they don't do housekeeping but every 4 days or so. So what they told us to do at Boulder Ridge is if you need towels, we can bring you some, or you can just go to the pool and bring some back to the room, which is what we found ourselves doing.
That's interesting because that would not only save me money for housekeeping, it would save me money for the housekeeping tips too.
Bingo.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, and also too, and I thought, I'll get this gift card, you know, 10 weeks after I've been here. It was in my email that night and they sent me an e-gift card, and I use gift cards for meal purchases and things like that. So I just went ahead into my Disney gift card account and converted it over to my other gift card, added it on. So we had that money that night in our hands.
Wow.
So. That was pretty cool.
Matthew actually wouldn't save any money because he didn't know anything about it till the other day when I mentioned it.
Oh, yeah. Tipping.
Yeah. He was surprised.
Oh, yeah, tipping, yeah. Who tips somebody?
You made me sound like a jerk, Greg.
No, I didn't. I didn't mean to. You just didn't know anything about it.
I'm just a jerk that loves to swim in a pool.
And he was wondering, hey, how come all these people get these animals on their bed? Because
I haven't been tipping the maid. Now, Nick, one thing you mentioned was that between Christmas and New Year's, the Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade, which usually is only seen at the Very Merry Christmas Party, is there during regular park hours. And I know you all watch this. Tell us a little bit about your experience with the Christmas Parade in Magic Kingdom and just some of the, I guess, the Christmas-themed things that you all got to enjoy.
That was news to me. I did not know that it was the parade was during the week after Christmas. And so that was another one of those new things that I learned about a week out. And I was actually making my note cards, my daily note cards, Matthew.
Love it.
And
love it.
You know what daily note cards are?
I am familiar with them, yes.
Yeah. I was actually, sorry, Craig and Derek. I'm like that too.
Just don't leave them in your backpack on Space Mountain.
Yeah. And but anyway, I was actually doing that, and I was like, man, they have this Mickey's Once Upon a Time Christmas Parade or whatever. And I'm like, so, and it's twice during the day. It was at 12 and at 3. So the first day we were there, we caught it at 12 in Frontierland right as soon as it starts. It's a pretty cool parade. I mean, Lily loved it. Lily absolutely loved it because, I mean, just the magic of the Christmas season that is involved in it. You got the toy soldiers, which are probably, that are really cool. You got the guys who are skiing. There's a whole float that is, you know, kind of like the Festival of Fantasy float, but it's loaded down with all the princesses. Anna and Elsa lead the parade out. Of course, the reindeer and the big man Santa Claus are at the end. It's a really good parade. We stood on the sunny side of Frontierland, and of course it was cooler temperatures, but we actually saw that parade twice. One of Lily's favorite things is too is when Anna and Elsa freeze the castle, or Elsa frees the castle, freezes the castle at night. If you have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and be at Magic Kingdom by 7, it's still frozen until about 45 minutes after sunrise. So you can walk into the Magic Kingdom and still see the castle frozen, which was pretty neat too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all the decorations are, you know, really cool. I mean, I'm a huge Christmas fan, especially decorations and things of that nature.
The snow on Main Street is the best, though.
Cool. I mean, there's nothing more magical than Disney World and then decorated, I think, for a holiday, whether it be Christmas or Halloween or things of that nature. So it was really neat. We really enjoyed it.
Getting into some other things on your trip, since now you said you were only doing Epcot and Magic Kingdom on this trip. Is that correct, or did y'all do
that? That's correct. Yes, sir. That's
and so was your food limited to in-park food and beverage?
The first night we got there, we had reservations at Ohana. And I'd scheduled...
Woo! I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry, it was still the first night.
I just fast.
Let me tell you. Tie on the feed bag. You feel like you can't stop, and I mean, if you're an eater like me, you're in trouble. So, but I had scheduled it to be able to see the fireworks. So our reservation was at 8:25, and I mean, it was packed. But we got in. Man, we hit the jackpot. I don't know if it was just because of our party size or what, but we hit the jackpot on every one of our reservations. Man, we didn't wait any more than probably 5 or 10 minutes, and we check in. And then we were in. So we were in Ohana. We ate there. Man, enjoyed that. Everybody enjoyed that. My favorite ended up being those pot stickers. I mean, they were really good. And of course, the dessert was good too.
I'm about to say, what about the bread pudding?
Yeah, and I mean, it's all good. You leave out of there with in a meat coma.
I'm about to say, what so, was your text you sent to me after you went through it?
Yeah, I had the meat sweats when I left there, man.
I'm sweating now thinking about it.
But I can't believe Derek asked you a question about food, though. That's where
I know Derek's my man when it comes.
I'm trying to figure out. Matthew is pools. Derek is food. What am I?
You're the money saver, man. You're the penny pincher.
Making fun of us for liking pools and whatnot.
I'm the penny pincher and
the dining plan guru. Yes.
Oh yeah, the dining plan.
Yes.
But let's see, Derek. We ate at Ohana. We ate at Crystal Palace. At the Magic Kingdom, my family tends to, the reason we're not big fans of the dining plan is because we don't ever eat three meals in a day.
Mm-hmm.
We like to schedule what we call we schedule a brunch at these off time, you know, of eating times, you know, like it's your 10 o'clock and your 4 o'clock. And we even had a meal at 3:45 one time, but we snack, you know, we have our snacks that we really love at Disney. And so very seldom do we ever eat, you know, two full meals in a day, but we'll eat one of these big, big meals that really kind of tide us over, and we love our snacks. But we ate at Crystal Palace at the Magic Kingdom. The next day we went to Epcot and we had the Candlelight Processional dining package.
Oh.
And we ate at Rose and Crown, which was a first for us, which was really good. We really loved it. The next day at Magic Kingdom, we ate at Liberty Tree Tavern, which was a first for us.
Another good one.
Man, at the food at that place, the roast beef was, I mean, outstanding. Yeah, Liberty Tree Tavern. And the last day at Epcot in the parks, we had a breakfast at Garden Grill.
Hey, Nick, as far as you are a very healthy eater, how does that mess you up, eating all that food and I mean, just so much quantity, plus the desserts that you probably usually don't do.
Calories don't count at Disney.
Yeah, they
you're walking a lot.
Yeah, calories don't count at Disney. Plus, I usually get up every morning and work out at Disney. I did not this time because we were in the parks. It's, you know, we were at the bus stop at 6 o'clock.
Oh, you were working out. You were working out. You just,
but I mean, you know, you're taking 25,000 steps a day, and poor Lily, you know, who's going to be a tall little girl, but she's probably taking 50,000 steps because that girl, she's never ridden in a stroller at Disney. She's a champ.
You just tell Lily she's lucky she's not a Rochelle.
Just
tell her that. And
yeah, that's true. Man, they wore me out.
Dad, can we stop walking, please?
Yeah.
So hot.
But yeah, no, Craig, to answer that, I really kind of do it with, you know, with portion control and things of that nature. But at Disney, man, I love a buffet. I don't eat buffets any other time. I love it when they bring it to me. I don't eat, you know, just keep bringing it to me. Man, we had the tater barrels out the wazoo at Garden Grill. You know?
Tater barrels.
Bring me, they can't call them tater tots. Bring me the tater barrels, man. And so we had tater barrels like crazy.
The whole reason I asked that, Nick, is because I know there's a lot of people that listen that are very health conscious. And when you hear us talking about food a whole lot, and then you go to Disney, and then you think, wait a minute, how am I going to... And you're one that, I mean, following you on Twitter or anything, you see how healthy you eat, how healthy you fix food. I just wanted you to say that for those who are listening.
My advice would be, you know, everything in moderation, and that also includes, you know, healthy eating, I would think. You know, let your hair down, have a little fun, man. Eat if you like to eat. There's Disney World. Lily said there, I mean, words out of her mouth. Dad, I've never had a bad meal at Disney. They're all good.
There you go.
You know? And, you know, enjoy those. That sit-down meal, for me, is my meal for the day. And I may let it go a little bit there, but I don't typically eat a whole lot, you know, throughout the day. But, man, we had that cinnamon loaf at Gaston's Tavern, and we couldn't finish all three, and we split everything. Good.
I was talking to our friend, the big man, yesterday. They were there for 5 days, Big Don.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how was your trip? He said, well, we walked 33 miles in 5 days, and I gained 3 pounds. So that can happen.
That's the truth.
But hey, you mentioned the Candlelight Processional, and I know that's something Derek has done. I don't think Craig and I have got the chance to do it. Just tell us real quick about what your thoughts on that were. It looks like a really neat show. I know a lot of people love it. Who was your narrator, and how was that experience?
Our narrator was Chandra Wilson, the Dr. Bailey, I believe, off of Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
Which Amanda was really fired up about. I had no
there you go.
You know, I had no clue. I mean, it's a great show. We saw the 8:15 p.m. version of it. It's the Christmas story of Jesus, which is really cool. Kind of, I'm glad Disney does that. You know, I mean, it was really cool. The music is fantastic. They have a full orchestra, and I'm telling you, the entertainment of the night was the conductor. Dude was on it. I mean, you know, you've ever seen, you know, Mickey's PhilharMagic, you know, if you've ever seen PhilharMagic, you know, he's like what Donald would be.
He was Maestro Mickey, huh?
Yeah, but I mean,
that's about like me saying at the Country Bear Jamboree, we're hitting it hard.
Yeah,
you said he was on it. I mean, I've never heard that about
this guy. He was good. The dining package is really, my opinion, the way to go, because there is seating in that American Pavilion there, that area, but the dining package, I mean, we were down front. We didn't get in line. We didn't have to line up super early. You know, and all that kind of stuff. Plus, on the dining package, you get an appetizer, a meal, and a dessert. Everybody does. It's a little more expensive, but it's worth it. And the show was just fantastic. I mean, it's about 35 or 40 minutes. The narrators are really good. They add their own kind of flavor to it. But it was a really good show, and we were all glad we took the time to do it.
When I think of that time of year, I think of crowds, and we've talked some about crowds. What was the one moment where you told yourself, man, there's a lot of people here? Because for us on our trip, it was that first Saturday night we were in Magic Kingdom. Like, this is not a game. This is dangerous. For you, what was it? What, maybe it was a line or a queue or a show. What was the one moment where you said, man, this is a lot?
Because my wife's a teacher, and I'm a youth minister. And so we follow school schedules really strict. We can't go in February.
Right.
We can't go in mid-August. we can't go in, you know, these off times, so to speak, with Disney. So really and truly, I have never been to Disney when there were not crowds. You know what I'm saying? We're always right. at spring break. We're always at fall break. We're always at Thanksgiving break. And we went Christmas break. But the first day that we walked out at 6 a.m. at Pop Century, and we thought, man, we'll be the first ones in line to get on the bus to the Magic Kingdom. We were outside of the queue.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, this is for real, you know? And so, I was just expecting, you know, 7 a.m. magic hours, all that kind of stuff. Man, we've been first in queues all the time when it comes to those kinds of things. We didn't get on the first bus. And
you were there at 6 a.m.
Yeah. And man, I'm starting to, I'm like, no, this, I'll walk, you know? I mean, yeah. But not too long. Pop Century is really usually good at this, and Disney Transportation. Before that first bus left, the second one was pulling in, but we still couldn't fit on that first bus.
That's incredible. Yeah,
no matter how many people tell people that getting to Disney, getting to parks early, and taking advantage of rope drop and all that, I know that's not for everybody, but so many people don't do that. Still, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of info out there on the internet about that, but some people, they just don't do that. They're not wired to do that kind of thing. You're there at 7 a.m. between 7 and 8, you're like, man, we own this place.
Yeah.
You get off at Peter Pan at 8:30, you walk out and wow. Yeah. I mean, or you're there at lunch, forget it, you know? I mean, you're holding on to your valuables and your kids, and you're just like, can we make it through?
Yeah, you know? And just looking at pictures online, the waits for to order a quick service meal or to go to the restroom even, that's when, man, you're like,
man,
we're not here alone.
Now, you could have had fast passes for restrooms, and people would have used all three of them, so.
Real quick, Nick, and I kind of alluded to this a while ago, you were down there for fall break, correct?
This year,
yeah.
When we went, yeah, well, we went down, yeah, it would have been the fall break time.
Okay, I've seen several, I think Josh did one of how fall breaks are coming just about like Christmas. I mean,
yeah.
Would you agree with that?
And I use Main Street, and I know it's a narrow area, but I use it as a pretty good judge because for a lot of folks, especially like me, Main Street is a pass-through to get to the park. I mean, you may come back later and enjoy it, but I don't hang out a lot of times on Main Street, but it was wall to wall when we were there this time. Now it was crowded when we were there in October, but it was nothing like wall to wall. If you wanted a picture with, one of the Disney PhotoPass people, you just get ready because there were going to be about 3,000 others anyway. So, I mean, you know,
I was just going to say, I guess my final question with that was, would you do it again around Christmas?
In a heartbeat.
Okay.
In a heartbeat, because there was not a single thing that we wanted to do that we did not get done, plus some. And that all goes back to good planning. It wouldn't be my first choice to do it again. But again, we're on that school schedule, so it's just kind of one of those things that we have certain areas to choose from. But by no means would we say, I'm not going to go to Disney because this is the only time I can go.
Right.
I'd be on the first flight out. And that may just tell you how crazy I am or how much I love Disney. But if I can put in the time to plan for it, we can pretty much do everything we want to do and then some based off of planning.
Well, Nick, we appreciate you joining us today. We've got one little piece of business to take care of. We're certainly glad to hear that the trip went well and to know that you can have a good time even at the most crowded time of the year. Since you are our guest, you get to ask the weekly Grim Grinning Greatness question. So...
Oh my goodness!
We know you didn't. We didn't prep you for this. We never prep anyone.
We didn't prep ourselves. So why would we prep you?
Yeah, I was hoping Derek would introduce it because he knows.
Go ahead, Derek. What is it?
Wait, Derek. What is it?
Amnesia.
Grim grinning greatness.
All right. Here's my question, guys. Of all the special things that Disney does, like the candlelight processional, the Christmas parade, the Christmas party, Halloween party, all those kinds of things at any of the parks that they do, what would be your have-to-attend event?
Good question.
Very good question. Well, since you asked, Nick, you get to answer first. So
yeah, I get to go first, right?
You do, and we cannot take your answer.
I would say, and I know this is this I can't this is going to throw a wrinkle into all of you probably, but I would say mine is without a doubt. I would not miss the Halloween party and that and the Boo to You parade of Craig, all the things.
Craig's angry now. He took his.
Yeah, I know he is. I know he is. It's kind of like I said, you know, dining plan, booze, but yeah. There's not a lot of reusable floats during that time, you know. They're just kind of all original. They're just the characters and all that kind of stuff.
And Boo to You, Boo to You just sticks with you. That song,
yeah. And that song, yeah. I mean, you know, and just some of the things that you kind of know about Disney, but you don't really know that they do. Like, you know, the Headless Horseman. I mean, I haven't thought about Ichabod Crane and all of them since I was in kindergarten. You know, I mean, but you know, when he walks out and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just. It's one of the really unique things that I think they offer, and it's really cool. Ooh. So that'd be my answer, fellas.
Man.
Well, since he took yours, Craig, we'll let you go next.
Would Fantasmic, would that be a special event?
Sure.
Why not?
I love Fantasmic. We haven't done that last few times we've gone.
Are you sure you love it then?
Because this is a can't miss.
I'd have to go then, if you put it that way, I'll just have to go with the Christmas party right behind it.
All right.
Because
taking all the big ones, Derek.
Because, I mean, I really enjoyed, believe it or not, I really enjoyed the cookies and hot chocolate. I think that was the hot chocolate. I keep saying this over and over, but it was true. It was never hot. It was just right. And now I don't know if that was just me thinking that or it was just cold. But in the snow down Main Street, again, Nick got my favorite, but I'd have to put that right. The parade, the, you know, everything goes along with it. It's just a real special time. So, sorry, guys. Matthew,
Fantasmic,
are you
is
next?
Amanda's favorite show. She loves it.
I love Fantasmic. I love, my favorite part is the very end with the boat and all the characters mm-hmm. on it. And I
yeah,
think
she
that's,
loves it.
That's
neat. Yeah, that's, it doesn't get old for me.
Matthew, what?
I'm kind of torn between a couple of things. I'm going to say the resorts, just at Christmas time. Can that be considered
a pool specific?
Yeah. Is that a special? That's not necessarily a special event.
Well, no, I mean, but you know that can fall under because hey, I've heard where you stayed at Wilderness Lodge. And I've heard you say it, and I've heard several people say it that I listen to and read lately. They say that that is probably without a doubt the most magical decorated as far as Christmas time.
I mean, we try to take time every day or every night to go and just look at the decorations there. We stopped by the Grand Floridian to see the gingerbread house there, and
right.
You know, the Polynesian was decorated and the contemporary. So I think again, that's not something you even have to have a park ticket to experience. Just going around and checking out the decorations at the different resort.
We did that. I mean, when us three went that first time, we did that. We spent several hours doing that, trying to kill time before we got to the party. And that was, like you said, that's an adventure when it's itself.
And it's something, again, you don't have to pay money for it. You don't have to wait in line for it. And it just kind of puts you in that Christmas mood without having to battle a lot of crowds. So I'll say the resort hopping, seeing the Christmas decorations there. Derek?
We hang on a second. Hang on. We can't.
You're calling
take
the shots now.
Yeah, you watch it. This is a one-time thing. Put my picture on the wall. We can't take a trip to Disney World with Lily unless we monorail resort loop hopped. You know, I mean,
uh-huh.
she calls it the Grand Flow. You know, she calls it the Poly. You know, I mean, she's picked up on all the lingo.
We'll have to get Lily on here sometime.
Yeah, I mean, she loves those. One of these days, I mean, it's a huge bucket list for us, but we're going to stay at the Grand Floridian. Those are awesome. I think that was a good answer.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Of course. I know.
Derek?
I'm going to go with one
I did
of
ask the question, so...
One of the many festivals over at Epcot, I'm going to go with my favorite one of those, which is the Flower and Garden Festival in the springtime.
Fancy.
I like the
he likes
the
food.
Floral
oh,
arrangements.
I mean the floral.
And the well, food is good, but at the same time, you get slightly different than... That's all there is to that.
Well, I think what it
they have the butterfly buffet.
It completely transforms that entire park.
You don't
park.
Need butterflies, sorry.
No.
And it's amazing how they do it. I mean, then you come in after it's over and it's all gone. Like, wait a minute, where did all the flowers
come up and especially right there in front of outside of Club Cool.
Yeah,
like that whole bank beside the little pond right there is filled with flowers.
And the kids play area and all that.
And then within a week of it being shut down, they come in and put sod down over the top of it. It's nuts. But to me, that's probably the most beautiful time at Epcot is Flower and Garden.
Good question, Nick.
Very good. I want to throw in an honorable mention. The other one I was considering was the Sunset Seasons Greetings over at Hollywood Studios, which was new for this year with the projections on the Tower of Terror. That was really, really cool.
That was good.
So that was cool?
Oh, man. Loved it. Loved it.
We missed that.
It was pretty neat. Well, Nick, we thank you so much for joining us, and I'm sure we will have you on again in the future. Guys, you have any parting words for Nick?
I just want to say, of those guests we've had for the recent trip rundowns, Nick, you're in the top two. I mean,
Thank you, man. That's awesome.
You've done a good job. No, really. Seriously, awesome. Appreciate it. Awesome job. We look forward to having you on again.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate you guys.
Well, that'll do it from here in the graveyard. We thank you, the listener, for tuning in, as always. And as usual, we encourage you to continue to share us with your friends and neighbors and let them know about the Grim Grinning Guys.
Hopefully we'll have a big spike in Arkansas this week.
We do hope so.
All three of us.
There you go.
Get your whole youth group, Nick, to chime in, to listen, to follow.
Well, with that being said, we hope you have a wonderful week. And as always, be sure to
beware the hitchhiking ghosts.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
As always, please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching, and go ahead and pull down on those lap...
Dars.
Dars. Clip.